The scripture reading this evening is Jeremiah chapter 33. The text this evening is Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall be an habitation of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off, Israel and Judah. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text this evening is Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are especially two reasons that we have our annual prayer day service. First, we gather tonight for our prayer day service to pray for our earthly needs. Prayer day takes place in the spring so that it coincides with the planting season. It is connected to the time of planting. We use the prayer day service to commit the coming crops into the hands of the Lord. The planting season, the growing season, and the harvesting season. We use our prayer day service to pray in a special way for our daily bread, our earthly needs. But second, we also gather together tonight for our prayer day service to be encouraged in our prayer lives. We gather together to be encouraged to pray regularly for our daily bread, for all our needs. Prayer is the most important part of the life of the child of God. Prayer is the breath of the Christian life. Without prayer, the Christian dies. Without prayer, you and I quickly become spiritually sick. The most important event of the day for the Christian is not making sure he gets up on time tomorrow morning to be at work on time. The most important event in the life of in the day of the Christian is not his studies at school. It's not the housework. It's not making time to play with the children. It's not getting to bed on time at night tonight. The most important event in the day of the life of the child of God is prayer. And not only because we need prayer, because prayer keeps us spiritually healthy, but also because God promises us the very best things, the very best blessings through prayer. Spiritual strength, the strength to overcome temptation and our struggles, contentment and grace for our calling at work, for our lot in life, patience and joy in the work at home and in the raising of the children, hope, wisdom, peace, the confidence of faith for every situation in life, all these things and much more, as we'll see this evening, are the things that God gives us through prayer. And so it is good on prayer day, not just to pray for the crops and to pray for our daily bread, but also to dwell on a portion of Scripture that encourages us to keep on praying. That's what we do tonight. We look at Jeremiah 33, verse 3, and we look at the encouragement God Himself gives us to continue to pray. We take as our theme an encouragement to pray. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, the needed exhortation. Second, the promised answer. And third, the promised revelation, walking step by step through the text. In the text, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah the second time, and God says, call unto me. That's the exhortation God gives Jeremiah. call unto me. That was a needed exhortation. In order to see that this was a needed exhortation, we need to know something about the situation that Jeremiah was in at this time. First of all, here in Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah is in prison. That's what we read in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. For over the last 40 years, Jeremiah has been a prophet, bringing the word of God to the southern kingdom of Judah. For the last 40 years, Jeremiah has been preaching against the gross forms of wickedness that characterize the citizens of Judah and Jerusalem. That last 40 years of Judah's existence as a nation. Jeremiah has urged the people to repent of their sins, to turn back unto God and to walk in God's ways once again. But the people have refused to repent. In fact, the reality was this. The people of Jerusalem at this time were by and large a heathen people. They were simply unbelievers, and their cup of iniquity was full to the brim. They were worshiping idols in the very temple complex. They had idols of Baal all along their rooftops in the city. They were offering their children on the altar of Molech, killing their children for their dumb idol gods, the children of the church. God's people were being persecuted. Jeremiah himself was especially hated and cruelly mocked because of his bold and faithful preaching of the Word of God. And Jeremiah had been thrown into prison. He had been thrown into prison before multiple times, almost to the point where he died. And now again, Jeremiah was thrown into prison, this time by King Zedekiah, a wicked king who would be the last king of Judah. At this time in Jeremiah chapter 33, not only was Jeremiah in prison in the palace of the king, there was also this. The Babylonian army had already surrounded the city of Jerusalem and was attacking it. God had told the people of Jerusalem over and over again, if you will not repent, I will raise up the kingdom of Babylon against you to utterly destroy the kingdom of Judah and lay her waste. And because the people refused to listen, now Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar himself had surrounded the city of Jerusalem and was attacking it. Babylon had already attacked Jerusalem numerous times before, when Daniel was taken captive, when Ezekiel was taken captive. But this time it was more serious. Babylon was fed up with Jerusalem's rebellion. And the reality was this. Here in Jeremiah 33, the passage we read, Babylon has been encamped around Jerusalem for over a year. Her battering rams and her siege weapons attacking the walls and smashing against the gates. And it would only be a year until the walls of Jerusalem fell and Jerusalem was taken. These were the darkest days of Judah's history and of Jeremiah's life. And the thing is, not only is Jeremiah in prison, not only is Babylon attacking Jerusalem, but Jeremiah knows what's going to happen. He's been prophesying it for the last 40 years. God is going to bring dreadful judgment upon the people. The temple will be utterly destroyed and laid waste. All worship of God at the temple will cease. The king's palace, the houses of the leaders will be completely destroyed. All those who have any gifts or abilities will be taken as slaves. Only the poor farmers will be left behind to take care of the land. And Jeremiah is one who loves God and who loves God's people. And this has been what he's been called to prophesy. This is what he's going to see with his own eyes. The complete destruction of the instituted church in Judah. Can you imagine the burden that was on Jeremiah's heart at this time? Not just his own personal sufferings, all alone, locked up in prison, but how his heart must have been grieving for the state of God's church, a church filled with wickedness. As I said, Jeremiah was living through the darkest days of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was going to witness what appeared to be the utter destruction of the church. It was at this time that God commanded Jeremiah to pray. Call unto me, Jeremiah, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This was a needed exhortation. Congregation, I can say this, none of us this evening are going through what Jeremiah was going through at this time. There is a reason Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Amongst all the prophets, Jeremiah shines very brightly, but amongst all the prophets, Jeremiah was also called upon to suffer some of the hardest pains that the prophet of God could experience. But maybe there are some hardships that we are going through. Some of us perhaps going through particular trials. Things that are hard for us to endure. You know what they are. You know yourselves the tears you shed, the griefs you bear, the despair and the doubt you might perhaps be tempted to fall into. It's exactly at those times, too, that God comes to you with the exhortation. Call unto me. Pray. Pray. That's what you must do. Jeremiah, you are in agony. Jeremiah, your heart is broken. You are righteously vexed. Jeremiah, you are consumed with grief for the church. Witnessing her destruction, God says, pray. Call unto me. That's where you will find your strength. When you are lonely, pray. When you are struggling with God's will for your life, Jeremiah, pray. When you feel as if God is far from you, pray, arise and go to your Father. Men ought always to pray, Jesus says. Pray without ceasing, Paul exhorts. Trust in Him at all times, ye people, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, David says. Seek ye my face, God says. And what do we say? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Thy face will I seek. But there's even more to this needed exhortation that God gives to Jeremiah. Not only is there this great suffering that Jeremiah is going through as he's locked up in the prison, there is also this. Jeremiah is perhaps struggling to cling to the beautiful promises that God has just given him. At least, I think it's fair to say that we would be struggling to cling to the promises that God had just given Jeremiah. You see, God wants Jeremiah to have strong faith. God wants Jeremiah to be encouraged and to be comforted by the wonderful promises God had just given him in chapter 32 and that He continues to give him in chapter 33. In Jeremiah 32, what God had promised Jeremiah was this. And what He also promises in Jeremiah 33 is this, that after Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, there would come a day when God would bring back a captivity. He would restore Jerusalem, build it up once again, and make her prosper. In Jeremiah 32, when Jeremiah is already in prison, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah the first time. And God gives Jeremiah marvelous promises. In fact, if you know the prophecy of Jeremiah, perhaps you know that it is in Jeremiah chapter 32 that God commands Jeremiah to purchase the field of his cousin Hanamiel in Anathoth. He has to purchase his cousin's field. And God commanded Jeremiah to do that, to emphasize to Jeremiah, I'm not done with this land. After Babylon destroys it, I will bring back a remnant. Notice what we read, for example, in Jeremiah 32, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. God gave marvelous promises to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I am working everything out for the good of the church. Jeremiah, I am working everything out for even your own good. And here Jeremiah is in chapter 33, in the prison, all alone. Perhaps he can hear the battering rams smashing against the wall, knocking down parts of the wall. And I think we can understand how Jeremiah might have been overwhelmed with all his sorrows, finding it hard to embrace these promises of God. We perhaps know what that's like, don't we? When griefs and burdens lie heavy upon us, and we go to God's Word and we read God's glorious promises, sometimes it is hard. It is hard for that Word to really sink into our souls and to make room in our souls. It is perhaps the case that Jeremiah doesn't see how he can embrace these promises of God. They seem too good to be true, somewhat of an illusion. They are an impossibility. And congregation, it's exactly at that time that now God's Word comes to Jeremiah the second time in chapter 33. And God says, Jeremiah, do you doubt my promises? Jeremiah, do you still wonder? Jeremiah, are you finding it hard to embrace my promises? Jeremiah, pray unto me. Jeremiah, don't just think over what you know. Don't just look at your situation, but pray. That's also why God says what He does in the verse before the text, in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, Jeremiah, Jehovah, the one who made and formed everything, your covenant-keeping God, faithful Jehovah. Embrace my promises, Jeremiah, by calling unto me. Fellowship with me. Draw near unto me and be reminded once again in prayer of who I am as the Lord. Pour out your heart before me. Cast your burden upon me. Seek ye my face. Pray to me about the promises I have given you. Talk to me about them. Share your heart with me. Unburden yourself. And I will give you the faith to believe them. I will give you the strength to embrace them and enjoy them. And that's also why in the rest of Jeremiah chapter 33, God emphasizes the promise He has made to keep a remnant, to be faithful to His covenant people, and ultimately to bring forth that branch of righteousness out of David, to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's also why He says, for example, in verse 20, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. He is the faithful God of the covenant. Jeremiah, call unto me. That was a needed exhortation for Jeremiah, and it is a needed exhortation for you and for me today. Call unto me. Pray unto me, God says, concerning the promises I have given you. Pray unto me. Cast yourself upon me. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may find, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are struggling? Wrestle with me. Demand that I show you my promises. Hold me to my promises. Cry out to me. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Are you fearful of what the future holds? God says, call unto me. Are you at your wit's end? God says, call unto me. Are you anxious and troubled, Jeremiah? God says, call unto me. Ask for the spiritual strength. Ask for the wisdom you need. Ask for the grace, the patience, and the hope you need. Ask for the holiness, for the joy, for the gladness you need, for the healing you need. Ask for the confidence of God's promises that you need. Call unto me. And God says, when you call on me, I will bring you to know in the depths of your heart that I am the Lord, the faithful God. My promises are sure. My love is unconditional. My faithfulness is unending. I do work all things together for good to them that love me. I will supply all your need according to my riches, according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, your daily bread also. Yes, because I am able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think. Only pray. Only pray. Pray is the means whereby the certainty of God's promises are confirmed to us. Prayer is an instrument through which our faith is strengthened. Prayer is the instrument whereby God lifts us up upon a rock above our adversaries. Prayer is the means through which God gives us victory over those things that would overwhelm us and cause us to struggle. Call unto me. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's the promise He gives in the text. He will answer. That's the promised answer. And notice, congregation, how personal this is. Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And what that means, first of all, is this. God hears your prayers. He hears your words when you fellowship with Him. Oh yes, He sees you. He knows you. He knows the thoughts of your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. He formed you and He shaped you all the way from the ends of your hair to the inmost recesses of your heart. He knows your prayers. He knows your thoughts. When you can barely utter a word, when you can't find the language to express what's weighing on your heart, He knows what you are saying. There is no miscommunication with God. There is no misunderstanding of what you meant. He knows and He hears. He draws unto you. He meets with you. He communes with your soul. He is attentive unto the cry of His child. And what that means, second of all, is this. God answers your prayer. He doesn't just say, that's a nice prayer, and then go on with His day. Sometimes we can do that with each other, can't we? We're talking with each other, but we're not really listening, and they're looking for a response, and we don't even know that they're looking for any response because we haven't really been listening. That's never the case with God. He answers. He gives you a response. This is what Isaiah 65, verse 24 says. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And whilst they are yet speaking, I will hear. What does David say in Psalm 34? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. What does God say in Psalm 91, verse 15? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God answers our prayers. Now, we need to be clear here. That doesn't mean that God always grants us what we ask. He answers our prayers. That doesn't mean He always grants us what we ask. What does Psalm 37 say? Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. When we delight in the Lord, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, when we pray, thy kingdom come, then the Lord certainly grants our prayers. When we pray, forgive us our debts, and when we pray, thy kingdom come, then the Lord certainly grants our prayers. But furthermore, when we pray unto the Lord and we bring our petitions before Him, God answers us. But He answers us not according to our own personal thoughts of how we might imagine, how He might answer us, our own personal imaginations of what our needs are. But God answers us according to His own wisdom and His own grace and mercy. He hears your complaints. He knows your struggles. He sees your sorrows. He knows your circumstances. And He says, I will answer you. I may not give you what you ask necessarily, because I do not let your puny wisdom and your short-sightedness govern my grace towards you. But I answer your request. I dispense my grace upon you according to my love, according to my riches, according to my wisdom, according to my own super abounding grace, always, because I am your Father who loves you. What does Romans 8 verse 32 say? You know what it says. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And what's the conclusion? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God has met your greatest need in Jesus Christ. He has given you your greatest need, even when you didn't ask for it, even when you didn't want to pray for it. And yet God answered that need. He sent His only begotten Son to die the accursed death on the cross, to make the atonement for your sins, that you might be reconciled to Him, that you might be righteous and holy in His sight, and you might enjoy prayer, you might enjoy His fellowship, your sins might be forgiven. And now God says, my child, I give you prayer. And I give you Christ as your mediator. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have continual access to my throne. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. God will communicate to you a response. No, He will not give you some extra scriptural revelation, a new and different word from the Scriptures, but He will give you a response. His response may be yes. His response may be no. His response may simply be this. Trust me. Trust me and obey me. Walk by faith. I will be with you every step of the way. Only trust me and obey. And by how He leads us down the pathway of life and how His Holy Spirit also works within our own hearts, God shows us what His will is and what His answer to our prayer is. And with the answer, God also gives us the wisdom and the grace to see His answer and to follow it and to be thankful for it. But how encouraging is that, congregation? God doesn't give us prayer to somehow mock us. He says, here is prayer. Now pray and see if I will answer you. No, God says, call unto me and I will answer you. And that needs to be real to us. He will give you what you need when you ask for it. Sometimes the wonder of prayer and the gift of prayer is underestimated by us. Sometimes we feel unworthy to go to God in prayer, so we don't go to God in prayer. We maybe say, I'm not worthy of God's listening ear. I'm not worthy of all that He's promised me through prayer. We neglect to fellowship with God. And then we feel all alone. We are all alone. We don't commune with Him. And then Satan comes to us and he puts frightening thoughts into our minds or discouraging thoughts into our minds. And God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Sometimes our reaction to prayer is this. Prayer doesn't do much. And we look at our situation and we say, how is prayer going to change this? God isn't going to perform some miracle to change my circumstances, to deliver me out of this situation, is He? I can pray and pray, but what's the point? What is prayer going to do? That's very sinful. That's dreadful. Jeremiah could have said that too. I already know what's going to happen. Jerusalem will fall. The temple will be utterly destroyed. Why pray? This is what God says. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And you see, this is especially how God answers us in prayer. When we seek His face in prayer and we commune with God and we begin to meditate on Him and remember who He is and we are brought into His fellowship and we see Him. And we remember again that His thoughts are far above our thoughts and His ways above our ways. This is what God does. God uses that very exercise of prayer. He uses that very communion with Him in prayer, among other things, to conform our wills more and more unto His will. To strengthen our trust that He is the good God. And to come to peace that our Father is in control for our good. Prayer does not change God. And prayer may not change our circumstances. Prayer is powerful. God uses prayer in harmony with His decree to accomplish His purposes. But prayer may not change our circumstances. But prayer is God's instrument so often to change us. So often, I'm only concerned with my own circumstances. My circumstances. And I'm not concerned with my heart attitude. And what prayer does is this. It brings me back into line with God's will. That's why Jesus had to pray. Not so that He would have His will brought back into line with God's will, but so that His will might remain in line with God's will. Thy will be done, not my will. And perhaps that's one of the hesitancies also that we have with prayer. Because the reality is, we know prayer will change us. And sometimes we don't want ourselves to have to change. We want others to have to change or other things or our circumstances to change. And we know that as soon as we get on our knees and we start praying and we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We know that right there. Everything has to change from being me-centered to being God-centered, to being God-centered. And prayer, in prayer, when we are really wrestling with God, what is happening is this. God is teaching us in the very activity of prayer itself to give up our own wills, to follow His will, and to trust His love. God uses prayer to adjust us, to readjust us, to help us look once again in the right direction, to strengthen our faith. And through wrestling with Him in prayer, God gives us peace to submit to His will. And that's partly what God was doing also with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, have faith. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. And the reality is this. Like Jeremiah, we are never done praying. So long as you are breathing, this command stands fast and this promise holds true. Call unto me and I will answer thee. It is suitable for every case. It is suitable for every circumstance in which you as a child of God may be cast. You may feel that you have no strength. You may feel that your sins have barred the way. You may feel that you can hardly find the words to express what's in your heart. And God says, no matter what, pray. You are never done praying. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. And if I haven't answered thee, because you haven't finished calling upon me. But further, we see how God answers our prayer by the promised revelation He will give us. The promised revelation. That's what we read in the end of the verse. This is how God especially answers our prayer. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I think those words especially emphasize the beauty and the power and the blessing of prayer. The reality is this, congregation, and you know this yourself. Without prayer, we only see the things that are earthly. Without prayer, we have only the perspective of what we see here below with our physical eyes. For Jeremiah, if all he had was his earthly eyes and what he saw around him physically, the outlook was horrible. Judah's condition was hopeless from an earthly perspective. Jeremiah was in prison. The army of Babylon was breaking down the walls at this time. The battering rams crashing into the gates. The leaders in Judah were wicked unbelievers through and through. With mercy, with merely the physical eyes, Jeremiah wouldn't have known the great and mighty things that God would show him. But God says, pray. Pray, Jeremiah, and I will show you through prayer the things that you can only see with the spiritual eye. I will show you. I will show you how indestructible my word is, how true my faithfulness is, how great my love is for you and my people. I will show you that I am the unchanging God of the covenant. I will show you that everything is serving my purposes. Pray to me, Jeremiah, and I will show you things that you have been overlooking. I will show you things that you can only see when your faith is strengthened through prayer. I will show you how my eternal decrees for the good of my people are being fulfilled. Pray to me, Jeremiah. And I will give you the assurance that my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What was the reality? The reality was this. The destruction of Judah at this time was for the good of the church. God was using this to preserve a remnant in the captivity. God was going to teach His people to look more and more for the heavenly land of Canaan, as the catechism students have been learning. God was continuing to prepare the way for Christ. God was working everything in the end for the salvation of His people. This is how it must be. And through prayer, God would show Jeremiah just how true this was. His promises are steadfast. The same is true today. Does God say, I'm going to give you some extra biblical revelation, something you won't find in the Bible, but that's new and different? No, God says this, prayer is the means I use to strengthen your faith in my promises. To look with the eyes of faith at the true reality that lies before you. God is in control. All things are for the good of His people. You see, prayer opens our eyes to a world that simply can't be seen by the natural man. Prayer puts our life into the perspective of eternity. Prayer floods your mind and your soul with the purposes of God, with the goodness of God, with the grace of God. Prayer will lift your eyes to see Calvary, to see the purposes of God in Jesus Christ, and to know that His purposes in Christ and His thoughts of love towards you that He showed you already in Christ will stand forever. Prayer will give you the assurance that God is able to bring forth good out of evil, and that God is working something so glorious and so great that you can hardly imagine it to be true. But you can by faith. Something so great and marvelous that in all the circumstances of your life, even now, tonight, He's working for your glory in Jesus Christ, His Son. And prayer will give you peace and rest and hope and confidence. Prayer will give you joy and gladness, thankfulness, knowing that nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through prayer, through God's Word, God supplies us the deepest needs of our soul. Through prayer, He shows us things which we otherwise would not have seen. Congregation, be encouraged to pray. You must pray. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Let us pray. Father, bless this preaching to our hearts. May we never cease praying. May we enjoy the gift of prayer which Christ purchased for us on the cross. May we not treat it lightly, but enjoy it. And then may we see Thy faithfulness in answering us. Open our eyes in prayer that we might see Thy purposes and Thy glory and how Thou dost fulfill all Thy purposes, even through the circumstances of our life, to bring the glory to Thy name. Give us contentment, Father, and bless us with everything we need. We know, Father, Thou wilt supply us with everything needful, according to Thy riches in glory through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.